You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Kathleen Reed. This is an exciting one as we are now actually in real life. So those that are listening on your whatever device you're listening on, and whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever, great. Otherwise, if you're watching in person, hello. I'm waving my hand, and I have a real person in front of me, which is very exciting. Thank you.
And we have coffee.
We have coffee. Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going tea. I'm a
tea
person.
You're tea. I'm coffee.
Yes. So, Kathleen,
yes.
You own a PR agency, and in 2022, how long have you had the agency for?
6 years.
6 years. So, if you could flashback 6 years ago to today, and this is what I find so fascinating, the media landscape, how would you describe the difference between 6 years ago and 2016 and 2022?
I think the amount of touch points that you have with media matters. So like I think of a touch point as it could be a Twitter DM, replying to a tweet. It could be an email. It could be a phone call. You know, you stumble into someone, they're drinking coffee, you're drinking tea.
Yeah.
But the amount of touch points before your story, I think there's more of them. So we track all of our data when we're pitching, and it's now about 3 to 4 touch points often before the story comes out.
Wow.
So I think that's different. And I don't know if you would have seen as many touch points. And I think in the last 2 years, we've been in a crazy media cycle. Like we've all lived it.
Yeah.
We've all lived COVID. We're all living in like a war basically now, all of these things. So newsrooms are really pushed and I think they're understaffed, but they always have been when there's breaking news. Mm-hmm. And I think the community and trade publications and podcasts and all these things that have popped up in the last 6 years matter more than ever because they're influencing the mainstream news.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if we look at like Bell and all the like layoffs after like almost every 3 months, there's a layoff announcement. Georgia Strait, the owners are struggling, right?
Yeah.
And so what does that mean for you as a PR, you know, agency owner and your team when you watch these reporters and producers or even news publications disappear?
I think there's always new ones popping out, right?
Okay.
So that's what I kind of think of, like Vancouver Tech Journal. Like if you look at what William Johnson has done, he's got a bigger team now, right? He's got two writers on that team. If you look at what Farhan's doing, right? He's creating a new media group. So I think media companies have to rethink some of it. But also we as PR practitioners need to think about there is a space for sponsored content. And you've got to make sure that you are also feeding those engines, right?
Okay.
So before we really would have focused primarily on earned and earned alone, because I think if you have a good pitch, you can still get it in.
Yeah.
If it's a compelling story, but you have to know when it should be sponsored content for any of these media groups.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of good talent for PR companies to find who have exited newsrooms because of layoffs. Yeah.
So it's almost instead of the disappearance of maybe the staff, it's a shift.
Yeah.
And some are going to like the Logic.
Yeah.
Which
I
became a paid subscriber of recently.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, my wife and I, we subscribe to the Globe Mail.
Yeah.
It comes every Saturday, a real physical newspaper.
Totally.
But the Logic, what happened was it was the third time I got three articles that I read the headline and I wanted to read it and I couldn't unless I paid.
Yeah.
And I became that. But it was more than just access now. I'm on like a Slack channel with the editor. It's almost like they gave me a whole enhanced experience as a reader.
Yeah, they have tons of that, right? And they're giving you briefings. They're giving you talking points that you could use when you're in the business community. So I think what news groups are doing are changing. And they've got partnerships, right, with Post Media and different groups. So I think the bigger media houses, too, have to look for those partnerships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah.
So if you, someone's listening right now and they're like, man, we want to earn some media for our business or one of our clients wants to earn media.
Yeah.
What's your advice these days?
I think you still stick to the basics. Is it a compelling story? Like, is it first of its kind? Is it, you know, never been done before? Is it the fastest? Is there something that's really newsworthy to it? And if there is, great, you've probably got a pitch. And then how do you pitch the reporter?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to look at that, right? Like, is it, you know, a Sean Silkoff at the Globe and Mail that you're going after?
Yeah.
Or do you need to place the story with someone like James Matthews at Vancouver Tech Journal? And I know obviously tech more than some of the other sides of the newsrooms, but that's still going to be important. Make sure you're following the journalist on social media, right? Some of those basics still apply, and then pushing that out and knowing there may be a few more touch points before the story it comes to fruition. I think that that's important for people to remember. Don't get frustrated during it.
That's really cool. Yeah. So still hope.
There's still hope.
For the earned media side of things.
Yeah. Okay. I think if it's a good story, it's going to get pickup. I think you've got to look at, is it too ambitious to go to the Globe and Mail first?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Is that the place you should go to first? Or do you need some community media or trade publications to pick you up first, build that validity, make sure people know about you, and then go to more of the mainstream or kind of those tier one outlets that people might consider them, like the client or the person pitching?
So when we look at the landscape right now, as far as kind of the outreach, is email still the way, or is it tweeting, or is
it? I think it totally depends on the reporter.
Okay.
Like, are they a younger reporter that's super active on Twitter? Then you probably want to go on Twitter. I've even used LinkedIn to build relationships with reporters, and some people think, oh, don't go to LinkedIn, that's not the right place. You have to find what's right for that reporter. So you should do your due diligence before you're pitching them. Do they like email? And there's tons of tools that exist, and you know, some people can't pay for the softwares, but you can usually find, how do they want to be pitched? What does their Twitter bio say? And if you don't know that, you should probably not email pitch them.
And the agency owners that are out there, I want to go there.
Okay.
For you being an agency owner, what has been maybe some of the discoveries you've made in this last while of like the role you play?
Yeah, I think like my biggest learning in the last 2 years is to kind of, I feel like I'm a recovering perfectionist. So you don't always need it perfect, nor does your team. Sometimes you've got to get to that good enough. And we're known to triple check and really make sure we're doing due diligence, particularly for publicly traded companies. But I think for the team, just level setting a bit, that sometimes you've got to get it out of the door so the client can start looking at the opinion piece. So that perfectionist energy maybe is not always the best for your team. That's what I've really learned in the last 2 years. So it doesn't fully answer your question, but it goes there. I think for agency owners, it's that people are going to move around too. Yeah. So do what you can for your team, but you can't do everything. Yeah. So if you can give someone a good year, 2 years of work experience, and then they're better in market as a PR professional, I think that's great, because I think some people look at PR and they don't always know the value of it. So if everyone can upskill and level set, that's great for the industry as a whole.
So those that are listening or watching right now that have a Netflix account, they've seen the TV show about PR agency, but really that they're a publicity shop, right? Or a they're publicists.
Yeah.
So how would you describe, just for education reasons,
right,
do you do what I've seen on Netflix? Is that you all day, every day?
All day, every day? No. There's elements that maybe are like the show, right? Like, and it's probably like lawyers when they watch TV, or doctors. Yeah. It's like, that's not all of what you do. I think a lot of what we do is doing strategic communications and communications coaching, right? Yeah. How do you say this? What's the tone and sentiment?
For the individuals within that
in the company, right? So for the spokespeople, or you know, let's look at, how are you communicating your diversity and inclusion strategy to your employees? There's a lot that goes into it that's more than kind of like the glitz, the glam, or what you would see, you know, covering things up. Sure, maybe you do something that you're reframing or you're changing the perception, but it's not probably like what you see on TV.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're at a lifestyle agency, right? Yes. It could be a little bit different. Yeah.
So for when you are doing a pitch for an organization, or those that are listening thinking, well, I want to pitch my organization, do people ever write about the organization or the brand, or does it always come down to the individuals within it, the people within it, the founders, the CEOs?
I think the people are the spokesperson and they're the story, right? So I think that like humans will connect to other humans, right? Like that's interesting. So if there's things that you can do about the spokespeople that will connect, like if someone's happy to talk about their personal experiences as a spokesperson, that makes an interview a lot more relatable and interesting. So that can help. It's that kind of connects us and builds. But I think you can pitch in two ways. One, around the person.
Yeah.
That can be a great pitch note. Or more background, this is the company, and here are the topics we're interested in covering. So we can talk to you about intellectual policy, and we could talk to you about, you know, taxation for BC companies, whatever their talking points would be. You could dump those in a pitch. So I think you could do it either way, company specific or person specific. Does that answer?
No, totally. Okay. And speaking of which, for you personally,
In
the role that you play, maybe any sort of things that you've, you know, whether you're born with, or, you know, things that you had to go with as an owner, and how did you recover from that? And what did that look like for you to, you know, to grow and be a better owner, friend?
Person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I've been pretty candid recently about the fact that I'm legally blind. So certain things in my life could be more of a challenge, or just they're making day-to-day more interesting. Yeah. So that's something that when I had to stop driving, it was a big deal at first, right? Like not being able to drive media out to a site, a construction opening. And I felt like I had to hide that. But as soon as I started talking about it, people open up. About all the other things that they're going through. So I think that that's actually made it easier once I stopped hiding it. Or blue ink. Like if someone marks things up on a printout in blue ink, I have to invert it to black so I could read it, because I can't see the color blue. So there's lots of different things that just make it interesting. And then instead of me thinking about it as like, oh my God, I'm so, you know, weak, I have a disability or whatever, it's reframing it in your head, which is really PR, right? A lot of reframing. So reframing it to say, okay, maybe I don't have the best central vision, but I've got crazy contrast. My contrast vision is better than most people. I would be like 8 out of 10. Most people are 7 out of 10. So I can spot like little differences in colors. So if I'm looking at a deck, I really notice inconsistencies. That's why I notice little spacing things really quickly. So instead of thinking, oh, this is like my downfall or my weakness, oh, this is my strength. Just reframing those things and creating a place where you can talk about what your different challenges may be or barriers, and then how do you reset those to become your strengths? So we do that as a team all the time. And then being okay with that uncomfortableness of not knowing everything, where you're at in your business or your journey as a person, and having conversations even with your team about it. So we're doing, every 2 weeks we level up the team. So we bring in a guest speaker, we should bring you in. And we talk about any of the things that are challenging that people have gone through. And it could even be in life, like, hey, you know, we've had people come in and talk about pregnancy loss or what it's like to be a woman in business and how to remove some of the up talk that people might do. So it really just depends on the topic.
I was talking to a group of high school students about going into marketing and I explained the difference between like brand side. You could work for one brand and double down on whatever, Lululemon, Herschel. Or you could go agency side. And I was saying, if you have any sort of ADD, ADHD, actually having that becomes a strength. Maybe in high school you got criticized or you felt like you were less than, but it becomes a strength because your agency side, you're managing, you know, 9, 10 different voices, brands. So tell me about that.
So I have ADHD. My husband has ADHD. Our son probably will have ADHD. Who knows? And I think you don't need to use it as an excuse, but your brain just thinks a little bit differently. So sometimes I can be like a little bit sporadic, jump from thing to thing, but that's why I've always loved agency. And I was at an agency before at National that I had done in-house, being, you know, at a large diversified resource company, and then consulting and for some agencies as well. And I couldn't live in a non-agency or like firm environment. It's where my brain works best. And you can take the golden nuggets and capture the connections and connect the dots on all your files. Which I feel like for people with ADHD, that's so interesting. But maybe in school, you obsess over the details. So like the way it shows up for me is that intense, excessive attention to detail. So if I'm working on a deck, I could spend 10 hours on a deck and not think it's good enough. So I've had to shift that in myself and medicate myself. So like if I'm medicated, I can get that document out the door a lot quicker than a day. Like maybe I forget to take, you know, my meds. I'd be like, oh, like it's not good enough. I gotta spend a lot of time. But also that excessive attention to detail has made Switchboard and the company what it is.
And to talk about, when was the day you decided, I'm going to try the meds? When did you?
So in undergrad, when I was at UBC, I was for, I think in second year, really struggling. Like I was all over the map. And I went and did a learning assessment. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, oh, this person really gets me. I'm really good at some things. And I'm really, I struggle in other areas. And they had recommended to medicate. The first medication I tried didn't work. So I've tried a couple. And then when I found one that worked, I was like, this is magic. Like for my brain is clear, concise. And I didn't overthink. It moved a lot of the overthinking out for me, but it shows up so differently for everyone. So it would really depend.
I had my wife and my business partner and my brother all gave hints. They were quite nice, like they were interesting. They gave hints like, you should try it. They always said, just try it for 2 weeks was the thing. So I went and got a doctor assessment and got Ritalin prescribed and tried it, and it was, fell in love.
And like if you can find, I feel like there's a big stigma with medication. And I had it, even people in my close friends and my close family, oh, you don't need to be medicated. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just do yoga and make sure you run every day, 10 kilometers, and you'll be fine. If you need to medicate, it would be like saying to someone who's diabetic, don't take your insulin today.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Eat celery.
Yeah. Like if you want to, you should know that you can. So I think there is a stigma around it. And so I'm very open about talking about it. I tell my team like, I medicate myself for my ADHD.
My brother was looking at it for his own son. And again, his son's quite creative and an incredible artist, my nephew. And so my kind of explanation to him was it didn't take away, and I think I had that fear, it didn't take away my thoughts or creativeness, but instead of my creative ideas popping up like on a spider web all over, and again, I love that you described the mapping ability because my head's always mapping things, but it actually just took all those things and put it into a list that's more organized, and I could see those lists in my head versus trying to navigate a spider web, because at the end of the day, I would get quite tired mentally, where now at the end of the day, I actually have quite, I'm not tired mentally, and since I started taking it, that's the biggest difference.
I think it shifts, and you feel that you can get through things a little bit more than feeling muddled.
Yes.
And I have friends now that are just, and women generally are diagnosed later in life than men with ADHD, so it's an interesting one, and it can really throw people. Like, I'll have people who call me, they're like, I was just diagnosed with ADHD. Yeah. Everyone's on some sort of spectrum of a lot of these things, so... and it can be like what's going on for you and different things. But I find it interesting because people really struggle with that label.
Yeah.
And it's just a thing.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world either way. And you can choose to medicate or not. But when you do get that assessment done for learning, almost everyone should get a learning assessment done.
Yeah.
What's the harm? Yeah. Why wouldn't we all do learning assessments grade 11 or 12 before you go on?
Yeah. And I do. Sometimes I wonder, like, what would I have been like in high school, university if I was medicated? My school notes would be way more organized.
Totally.
Like, my university notes are full of drawings and pictures, and like, that was my...
But that's like how your brain was thinking, right? Yeah, and you were trying to make those lists and make those connections.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes total sense.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
So yeah. One thing I'd love to talk about as an agency owner and even something we both went through of child loss. What did you maybe learn from it, or maybe just to get out in the open of what it's like going through it while running a team? And
totally. Yeah. My team was super supportive when Johnny and I lost our first pregnancy, and they really stepped up. And I told a few people on the team before everyone, and they were like, oh, go offline, do what you need to do for you.
Yeah.
And I think people do need to talk about it because no one really did before, right? Yeah. I think now people are starting to. So I took, you know, a few days off fully.
Yeah.
Like mentally just kind of checked out and just did me. And I think it's hard because I think it's easier for the one, usually like the one carrying the baby to mentally check out. But I think for dads and partners and parents, they also kind of need to check out. So I think that that's something almost that needs to change, is like both people need to be able to move out. And that's maybe the next portion of where the conversation could go.
Yeah.
But I think it's good now you're seeing paid time off for it and different things. But I don't think anyone would say, you must go back after you've had a pregnancy loss.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine any manager saying that to someone, but it's good the conversations are happening, I think. And it's important to be open about it. I think I'm someone who tries to find silver linings in everything. Yeah. So maybe I'm overly optimistic, but for Johnny and I, what we really found was it gave us an opportunity to be very present and to shift some of what was going on in our work lives to make sure we were ready when Freddie came around. And at the end of the day, I think whatever's happening, you know, at the time I felt really a bit angry and very sad about it, but everything does happen for us. Nothing's happening to us. Like the universe isn't like, no, you, this is happening. So what is in it for me was those silver linings. Yeah. But I think I was doing a counseling appointment and I went to counseling.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer. I do counseling weekly, but I had to almost let that full tennis ball drop and hit the bottom before I would be able to say like, okay, I can come back from this.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was like for you guys.
Yeah, I think for me, it was even our grief looked different for my wife and I, right? So it was even understanding we're both grieving a similar thing, but doing it differently.
Totally.
Where she had that intimate, caring experience.
Yeah.
And then I was also trying to figure out like the practical side of, we got to plan like, you know, the whatever cremation and, you know, some sort of memorial thing. And it was trying to be practical, but also take that time to process.
And I think it's also that both people go through it really differently because for women, it's such a physical and emotional connection. And then I think it's hard. Like, I think now I've had so many people in my life that have had something like this happen at various stages of the journey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, it's so nice that at least people can talk about it now.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're full term or in different like sections of it, you can have conversations. Because imagine 20, 30, 50 years ago, no one would talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, it was probably just feeling guilt, shame, all of these really hard feelings to go through. So I think one thing that would be nice is counseling included in healthcare, so that instead of just seeing your doctor and, you know, having to either maybe go through the birthing process for stillborn or however it's going for different people, going to do a DNC, whatever it is having counseling included in the system, not just the like technical medical stuff.
Yeah. I think our benefits, the ones we have at have counseling, but I think it's like covers 3 appointments, I think, for the year.
Yeah.
It's not a ton.
I think like our work counseling has like 3 to 5 even. During that, I was like, oh, we should up our counseling amount because it does add, like, I talk to a counselor weekly, not because I'm, you know, needing it, because it maintains my baseline level of my mental health.
No, that's that's incredible.
Yeah.
And what is it, rainbow babies? Is that what we're to call the baby after the?
Yeah.
Which is always an exciting.
Yeah. And now there's like all these new terms and like things that people are thinking about. But I think it's great because now if this is happening with someone in your team or a client, people can talk to you about it openly, right?
Yeah. It was the first time I ever posted something like, you know, LinkedIn. To get on the LinkedIn, you post like work stuff and, you know, humble brags. But it was the first time I posted something personal.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, the response on LinkedIn of the people who have also gone through something similar. And
Or people that were like, oh, it's so nice to see the personal side. I feel like LinkedIn's getting more personal.
Yeah.
It's like changing a little bit in that.
Yeah.
But
during COVID, I remember I was talking to someone about work from home and we couldn't go get our hair cut. Remember for the first while?
Yeah.
Couldn't get our beards trimmed, our hair dyed. And this guy described it as like people's roots began to show because their hairs weren't being dyed.
I love it.
But he said also, practically speaking, our roots were being shown because kids were showing up on camera.
Yeah.
You know, a weird like disaster in the background or people were just being honest about, I can't show up because I'm sick
yeah.
to these meetings. And so I feel like both practically, like physically and emotionally, our roots yeah. were being able to show. And I hope that stays. I hope yeah, the I roots of who we are.
That's probably the nicest thing, right? Yeah. Those are silver linings that you find in COVID. So yeah. it could be really challenging for a lot of people, lots of businesses, different things. But that's a really nice part of it.
Yeah.
There's always
if we can maintain
thing.
It.
Yeah.
So question then, you were yeah. just at a conference. We yeah. won't name the one, but yeah. you were at a conference for a couple of days.
Yeah.
How did people look? It was an in-person event.
Yeah, in person.
One of the first since, you know, it's been 2 years since yeah. COVID started.
I think people are excited to be
did they
back
look
in
good?
Person. I think people look good. I think, I mean, I don't know if I looked good because I moved this week, so I can't find my makeup bag. I don't know where any of my clothes are. I'm like a little bit disheveled. But I think people overall are excited to be back yeah. in person. People, yeah. You can kind of see like faces are lighting up, right? Yeah. Restrictions have lifted. So yeah. I think humans are, we are social creatures, yeah. right? Like we crave connection. Yeah. Even if you're introverted, you're going to crave connection yeah. of some sort. So I think people are excited. I think people maybe look a little bit more, people are dressing more casual, I think.
Okay.
Like I don't think people are in their, you know, full suits as yep. much anymore. But yeah, I think people are excited.
That's cool.
I think in-person's coming back.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think you've got to make sure there's a blend of all of it. But yeah. I don't know how many people want to do virtual online events anymore.
No.
Like, do you want to go to another?
No. Zoom no. thing all day. I can't imagine being on Zoom for 8 hours. Like, I'll have a few Zoom meetings in a yeah. day. But to be on a Zoom conference for an entire day
yeah.
and then to actually pay for it blows yeah. my mind.
Yeah.
Unless it was like, you get to have one-on-one questions with Elon Musk or yeah, I don't know.
Like
I mean,
wild,
like,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But like, yeah. I couldn't imagine the, like, yeah. I know Ted is coming to Vancouver in yeah. a few weeks. And so yeah. it'll be like in real life, Ted.
Yeah. In
right?
person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's back.
I think everything's going back and yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think there will be like little tweaks. Maybe there's yeah. not as many people wearing heels. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you've been comfortable in your yeah. own home for so long.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to want to go maybe.
No.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I think probably stores, right, like are struggling to sell as many like formal clothes
yeah.
anymore.
Lulu's doing great though.
Yeah, those Lulu's like killing it. Like yeah. the dress sweats.
Yes,
all
yes,
the new
dress
things.
Sweats.
Yeah,
yes.
I love it.
Okay.
That's my look. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
If I'm going into the office, I'm like, yeah. I'm going to just wear dress sweats, sneakers, and like a blouse. That yeah. works.
It's amazing.
You can make it work. Yeah.
I know you can't say, you know, like who your favorite client is, oh. but give me like some highlights of some of the brands you get to work with right now.
I think the coolest thing is all of the companies that we work with yeah. are changing the world for the better.
Yeah.
So I'm cool. a huge believer in technology because yeah. I use it every day.
Yeah.
I use Uber to get here,
yes.
for example, because yeah. I can't drive. If I didn't have even my phone,
yeah.
I couldn't zoom in on
yeah.
things to
yeah.
see like fine print on a baby infant Tylenol bottle. So any of the people we're doing are like changing the world for
yeah.
the better and making sure that communities stay connected.
Mm.
So if it's changing the way that you grow food
yeah.
so that we can have food for future generations because of all of the crazy things we're seeing with the climate, like I can sleep at night having a child knowing
yeah.
the work that our clients mm. are doing. So I feel like that makes, and I'm a highly anxious person.
Yeah.
So like I think about earthquakes. I think about what it's going to look like for
yeah.
our kids in this world that is yeah. in a climate crisis. And I think, okay, there are companies that are doing good,
yeah.
that are changing things for the better. Mm. And we'll, you know, humanity can get it right.
Yeah.
Still.
Mechanics cars,
mm-hmm.
right? Or shoemakers shoes.
Yeah.
Usually they're not the best.
Yeah.
So, but what have you done to do PR for yourself? What does it look like? Where can people follow you? Where can they?
Oh, I'm not good at doing my own PR.
Okay.
It's terrible. I feel like, yeah, it's like if you go to a carpenter's house, it's never
yeah.
all like finished and
yeah.
organized, right? You could follow Switchboard on social media.
Yeah.
So we're there. We have our website. And I think some of my social media is open. Twitter's open for
yeah.
sure. I think LinkedIn, if people add me, you can probably connect right. that way. And then Instagram, I only post photos of my baby.
Yeah.
So unless you want baby spam, like there's
yeah.
no point in following me. Nothing is work related.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Totally.
And the name Switchboard, where did it give us that origin story there?
So Switchboard, what it is like, it's all about connection.
Yeah.
So I feel one of the huge things we do, it's not always connecting to the media, connecting to government, connecting to
yeah.
folks that could help you grow and scale your business. So we love to connect and help.
Yeah.
And I just thought like that's so nice of a switchboard. And then switchboards are thought of as so old school,
yeah,
right?
Like Downton
connecting
Abbey.
In a hospital
like,
or like moving
yeah.
people in, like
yeah.
their big yeah houses and all the different things. But I think you still have to have those core principles,
yeah.
right, in anything. So I kind of liked the old and the new together.
That's
so
really cool.
That's where it came from. Yeah.
Okay. So some rapid fire questions.
Yes.
Just for
okay.
you know, folks
Go.
That want to know. First ever job you ever
first
had?
First ever job. I was a birthday party coordinator. for the city, and I would do children's birthday parties at a pool, and I often wore a mascot costume that was a tiger.
Amazing.
Yeah, or babysitting, I guess.
Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
First thing you ever did PR for?
First thing I ever did PR for? Well, I worked at National.
Yep.
And I think the first thing that I would have like media pitched around was climate makeup. So okay. Like it was makeup with designed for athletes.
Okay.
Maybe Maybelline. Perfect. It was some, I was like, yeah. I don't know how to pitch this. I don't even really wear makeup, but I had amazing. A great little pitch script. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dark or milk chocolate?
I go for milk usually.
Okay. Okay. Cat or dog person?
Dog.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the best thing you ever changed your mind about?
That's such a hard one. The best thing of probably not being able to drive.
Yeah.
I was so angry, and now I think it's like the best thing.
Yeah, Uber.
Yeah, ever. Uber. Yeah. Like, when we didn't have ride sharing, it was tough.
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like cabs wouldn't come, and it would be like rainy and dark. But that's probably the best thing because I can always have a few drinks.
Yeah.
Which silver is awesome. Lining, and it's not.
You can get work done. You can be like the Lincoln lawyer in the back.
I could just have my laptop out. Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, as long as I don't get car sick. Yeah.
Yeah. Best book that you read as a child.
Oh, that I read.
Or a children's book now that you're reading.
My favorite children's book as a kid was Little Women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Which is like still one of my go-tos. If I'm feeling like I need to connect with my inner child, I'll read Little Women or Secret Garden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Secret Garden.
So good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Best marketing or business book that you recommend?
Well, the best book that applies to business, but it's not a business book, is It Didn't Start With You, Mark Wallin. And I'm obsessed, and I tell everyone to read this book because it's a lot about what your like family patterns are. So if you have like depression or anxiety, you can find where that came from. Wow. So a lot of our behavior comes from generations before us. And if we can find it, we can make sure that we change that cycle. So I just think like psychologically, there's so much we can learn about ourselves to be better business people.
Wow.
So that's my favorite.
Newsletter or website or podcast that you subscribe to that you just love to get inspiration from?
Vancouver Tech Journal. Yeah. I love their newsletter. The Logic. I love The Peak.
Yeah.
The Skim. I like The Skim because it's a good like start to your day. Podcast. I love The Daily.
Yeah.
That's my favorite podcast. I like The Big Story. I think what they're doing with City's Big Story is cool. It's getting better. And what else? Podcast newsletters. What was the other one?
Websites.
Maybe. Oh, websites. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I just do podcasts and newsletters. Yeah. I'm huge into podcasts, and like if you do not make your content accessible and it's in super small font, that's a bit of a challenge. So like I like listening as much as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And new hires, kind of this new economy, this new era. What do you look for when you hire new staff?
I look for people who are like resilient, gritty, can get shit done, don't take things personally, and understand that, you know, you have to have some coaching.
Yeah.
So like an openness for coaching and just really that they want to be A players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you think are you finding staff from these days? Like where job boards or where are you discovering new talent?
You know, we get referred a lot of great talent. I'd say a lot of ours come from referrals. And then when we open post, we've got a lot of great talent from UBC. So like shout out to all their students and what they're doing. But I think word of mouth too. You know, we sometimes will have a senior consultant who's like, oh, I worked with this person before. They could be good.
Yeah.
Things like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Kathleen.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
me. This was amazing.
So fun.
We hope maybe you'll come again, maybe with one of your clients to come. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah. I'll sit over there.
Yeah. And you'll be coaching them. You have little signs maybe.
No signs.
No
signs. I'll just have like a little red one. Like stop. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah.
Perfect.
Darian wants to ask his next question.
Amazing.
Okay.
Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for the coffee.
You're welcome. This has been a real in-person Marketing News Canada episode in real life. Those of you that are listening, amazing. Those that are watching, hello. Thank you for watching our video. We're back, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.